I need to ask a quick favor of you. As a lot of y'all know, at the top of next year, I have a book entitled Theologizing Bigger dropping. In anticipation of that book, I have to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to launch that book successfully when the time comes. And one of the ways I'm doing that is by rolling some things out through my newsletter. Now, if you could subscribe to my newsletter, that would be a huge help for me. And it won't cost you a thing unless you really want to support, and there's an option to do that too. You can do that at pastortrey05.substack.com. Once again, that's pastortrey05.substack.com. And as an added bonus, you might even like some of the stuff you see being posted over there. So if you're not a hater, go ahead and sign up for that. Invite a friend to do it, and we're going to have us a mighty good time. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is bona fide Bible talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. Love as an act of liberation. That's what we've been chasing this entire season of the New Living Translation. I shouldn't say chasing, maybe unpacking, discovering, mining. That's what we've been doing this season of Translation. A season that's almost over, by the way. We got this episode and then another one, and we're going to take ourselves a nice little break because, as we talked about in the last episode, rest is a good thing. So what does it mean to be loved? What does it mean to love? What does liberation look like? Done all of this talking and there are still so many questions. I'm not trying to untie any of the work I've done this season. This isn't about me undermining all of the stuff we've been talking about or pulling the carpet from under your feet. It's just that sometimes we can do all of this digging, all of this studying, all of this praying, all of whatever it is you're doing and still walk away with questions. It can still take some convincing when we're trying to figure out or understand some of the things of God. This is an age-old paradigm. How do we come to know and understand a God we cannot see? Now, if you don't know who I am, maybe this is your first time listening to the New Living Translation. I am Trey Ferguson. The Pastor Trey tagline or whatever on the podcast is not for show. This is really what I do. I am from the Christian or a Christian tradition. One of the things that I am fortunate enough to inherit in that tradition is the belief that the person in totality and wholeness of God is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. Meaning that if and when I have a question about who, what, or how God is, my starting point in investigating that question is looking to the person of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about liberation, freedom, deliverance, whatever that is, what does Jesus have to say about that? Not just verbally out of his mouth, not just Sermon on the Mount or parables. What does the life, ministry, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus have to say about that? Now, I'm not taking us to Calvary right here and answering this question. As a matter of fact, some of my favorite stories about Jesus are about the man Jesus, the life of Jesus, before we even get to the parts that we shout about on Sundays, before we get to what most people would consider the gospel. You see, I need a God who understands me in an intimate way. It's hard for me to celebrate the God who sits high and looks low. No, sometimes I need a God who is down here in the dirt with me, a God who's been through some things, a God who, when I feel like cussing up a storm, can understand the feelings that I am feeling. And that is the person I feel that we have in Jesus Christ. Somebody who knows what it's like to deal with a world full of temptations, temptation to materialism, temptation to power, temptation to violence, all of those things. And luckily, for the consideration of someone like me, there's such a story of Jesus dealing with the very temptations that so many of us go through. And so without further ado, we're gonna hit up a story in the Gospel according to Matthew. It'll span a couple of chapters. We'll start at chapter 3, around verse 13, and and work our way through the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Let's get into it. Then Jesus came from all the way out in Galilee to John at the Jordan River so John could baptize him. But John tried to pump the brakes. Like,
I'm gonna baptize you, cuz. Shoot, I need to have you baptize me.
Jesus won't have it, though. He said,
this the way it gotta go down. We gotta show people the right way to do things.
So John went with it. After Jesus got baptized, he came up out the water, and then heaven opened up to him. He seen God's spirit swoop down like a dove and perch on him. And check it, a voice out of heaven spoke. This is my son, my beloved son, my pride and joy. Then the spirit led Jesus out in the boonies to get tempted by the devil. Jesus ain't eat nothing out there for 40 days and 40 nights, so he got hella hungry. And a charmer came. He said,
if you really God's son, go ahead and tell them stones to turn into bread.
But Jesus came back with, it's already wrote down. It ain't just bread we live by. We live by every word out of God's mouth. Then the devil took him to the sacred city, way up at the highest point of the holiest place. He said to him,
if you really God, son, jump. It's already wrote down. God'll send his angels to lift you up before your foot hit a single rock.
Jesus came back again. It's already wrote down. Don't play around with your God Almighty. So the devil took him to an extra high mountain. He showed Jesus all the countries of the world. Let him take in their gravity. And he says,
I can give it all to you. All you gotta do is bow down. Show me some love.
And Jesus said, you better get from around me, Satan. It's already wrote down. Only bow down to your God. That's the only boss we got. Then, devil left him. And check it. Angels, messengers from God, came and took care of him. I like to think that this time in the wilderness, facing all of these temptations, really shook Jesus. And I don't like to think that for my own personal good. I like to think that because two chapters later, in Matthew chapter 6, we have Jesus presenting what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the disciples' prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then toward the end of that prayer, as Jesus is instructing his disciples on how to pray, he says to pray that God would lead us not into, some translations say temptation, some translations say into testing or the time of trial. Basically, a little bit after having come through this wilderness experience of being tempted by all of these various things, Jesus tells his followers, I want you to pray that you do not have to go through what I've been through in terms of having your mettle tested in that way. And he goes on to say that they should pray to be delivered from evil or the evil one. That if and when you are tested, pray that God would pull you out of this situation. Here's one of the things I don't like about this particular situation, though. If you read the story closely enough, the one that we just read in Matthew's chapter 3 and 4, it almost seems as though God, or the Spirit of God, is what led Jesus into this particular situation. The reason I started in chapter 3 is because that is where we find Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. Matthew's gospel account tells us that John the Baptist is hesitant to do this at first. He says, I'm not worthy. You need to be baptizing me. Jesus says, no, John, like, you got it. You the one, man. Go ahead and let's do this. We got to show people what humility looks like in these situations. John says, okay, we'll do it. Fine. And as Jesus is getting up out the water, he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove, landing on him. Then they hear the voice from heaven. This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I like that image of the Spirit of God descending like a dove, because later on in chapter 4, when Jesus is quoting scriptures, one of the things he says is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. The Spirit of God is just descended looking like a dove, a bird that feeds its young by chewing up stuff and regurgitating it into their mouth directly. It's almost as though Jesus is saying that I don't need bread because the Spirit of God is with me. And what the Spirit of God is spitting is what I can live on at this particular stage. It's the first temptation that Jesus has after he's in this period of spiritual awakening, fasting in the wilderness, getting in touch with his truest self. The temptation then comes to find something to eat because the man is hungry. And Jesus' reply is that what God has for me is enough. I can live off of the truth that God is spitting. And then this charming tempter that meets Jesus in the wilderness says, okay, you about God and the word of God, takes him to the holiest place that he can think of, to the highest point in the temple in Jerusalem, and says, if we are living off of what God says and God's protecting us in this situation, go ahead and jump. Because the word of God says that God will protect you. And Jesus says, oh, you think you slick. Just because I said that I don't need no sustenance like that, that I could just act foolish in front of God. Because the word also says, don't put God to the test. And the tempter says, okay, you got me again. Here's the deal. I'm going to show you what I am in control of, what I have access to. And all you got to do is show me some love. Bow down and worship me. And I'm going to cut you in. And Jesus says, no, that's a non-starter, because the only person I worship is God. And so after having been baptized in public and having the Spirit of God come and perch on his shoulder and having the voice of God affirm that he is beloved by God, the first temptations that Jesus faces as he's trying to get in contact with his truest self are the temptations to feed his hungry body, the temptation to wild out and ask for God's protection, and then the temptation to wield power. And his response to each of these three temptations is basically, what God has for me is enough. I don't need to prove anything to you to feed myself, because what God feeds me is enough. I don't need to prove to you that God will protect me, because I know that God will show up when I'm really in need. I do not need you to give me dominion over anything, because I already know that God has dominion over everything. And so the way that Jesus fights off temptation each and every time is by remembering what Jesus heard when he was baptized. That he was God's child. That God was well pleased with him. That God was proud of him. Just the way he was. Without the magic tricks. Without the need to prove anything to anyone. Without the need to operate the levers of power, God was already pleased with who he was. And so, beloved, my hope for you is that you can find liberation, freedom, and wholeness in the fact that you are loved by God, even without all of the things that you're tempted by. Let me pray with you. Oh, loving God, we thank you for the fact that you are proud of your children and that you find pleasure in them. We ask that by the power of your Spirit that rests on us like doves, ready to feed us in our time of need, that you might remind us that we are already loved. And in that love is your commitment to our wholeness, in spite of all of the things that the world tempts us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Translation is a production of Three Black Men, the podcast about theology, culture, and the world around us. You can follow us on Twitter at Three Black Men. That's the number three, not spelled out, Black Men. You can find me on all social media platforms at Pastor Trey 05. That's Pastor Trey 05. Don't send me no Facebook requests though. Like, I don't be over there. That's the bad place. This work has been made possible by a community of folks who've chosen to show their support through generosity. You can join us at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Spell three out that time, though. patreon.com/threeblackmen. There you can find even more original content from Sam, Rob, and yours truly. Make sure you subscribe to, rate, and review the New Living Translation and Three Black Men wherever you get your podcast. And remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.